It's the fifth year of Ngā Whetū o Matariki, the Matariki Awards, which were designed to recognise outstanding Māori achievements and celebrate the contributions made. Among those who've made it into the finals this year is Aotearoa's own internationally renowned film producer Chelsea Winstanley, Ngāti Ranganui and Ngāi Te Rangi, who's already received a number of accolades for her international projects like Jojo Rabbit, as well as some local documentaries, including Tame Iti, the man behind the moko. And this Saturday night, Chelsea is up for the Te Waipuna Ārangi Award for Arts and Entertainment, and she joins me now. Hi.
Kia ora, Jesse.
Kia ora, congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's lovely to talk to you.
You've been such a jet setter these last few years. I imagine you haven't been to the Matariki Awards before.
No, I haven't. I haven't been, but I've had to observe from afar. It's so nice to see all those Ngā Whetū celebrated every year.
Great. And you're home now, I understand. How did the travel home go without incident? How's it been?
Honestly, the travel home has been amazing. I'm so grateful to be here. Lockdown was absolutely fine. My managed quarantine was a breeze. You know, honestly, we're very, very lucky to have such a committed government who really wants to ensure Kiwis coming home have the best care. It's been great, yeah.
When did you first become interested in making films?
I think I've kind of always been a bit of a storyteller, and I think just naturally kind of, you know, Māori, you get together and you tell jokes and you're with your whānau and you're having lots of kind of story time no matter what and whatever circumstance. But I think I was first enamoured by a documentary that I saw by the formidable Mera Tamita, and it was called Bastion Point Day 507, and it was all about the occupation of Pataka Parawha up in Orake, and it just hit me. It was something that just hit me really hard, and I couldn't believe kind of seeing those images of all those tanks rolling down across on the water there, and then seeing all those people, just peaceful protesters. It was just so shocking to know that that was part of our history, but also equally incredible to see what Merita had captured, and really for us all as a nation to have now as an archive. And that's something in our history that, you know, changed me. It changed me as a filmmaker, as a storyteller, and I was always thinking, wow, what kind of person had the guts to make that film?
I was going to say, I don't imagine you knew straight away that it was made by a Wahine Tour. Did that realisation come later down the track when you realised exactly what Merata had done?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, and then just kind of going to university and studying. I did a communication degree, and then having the opportunity to meet her and work with her later on when I was kind of first, you know, entering the kind of film industry, which was, you know, something. If you have a hero in your life,
yeah,
you never imagine that you're going to be able to have the chance to work with her. It really did change things for me.
You co-produced a documentary, Saving Grace, Te Whakaraora Tangata, with Merata. That must have been an incredible experience to be able to be side by side with her.
Yeah, it was an incredible experience and something that, you know, I will always be thankful for. Unfortunately, Merita passed when we were in the post-production phase of that documentary. So it was something that we were all as a community very affected by. And then when Cliff Curtis and Merita's son, Hepi Merita, approached me to make a film about her called Merita, How Mum Decolonised the Screen, of course it was an opportunity to, you know, continue her legacy, which she was always doing. She was always fearless in her approach about bringing Māori up through the industry. So it was an opportunity for me to help Hepi make his first feature. So, yeah, it was an incredible experience.
How powerful is film and a screenplay in elevating voices that might not otherwise be represented in mainstream media or not represented as fully as they might be?
Oh, I think it's very powerful. I mean, the most successful films that we have on the international stage are either by Māori or have Māori content. And I think that's a very powerful, positive place for us to be. And also, it's all about visibility. You know, we have to be visible because we're here. Māori are the unique voice of this country, and we can't take that for granted. And I think we've got a lot of wonderful stories to share. There's lots of many more stories to tell, of course, and that's, you know, why I'm so happy to be home right now.
Can you tell us a bit more about the project you're working on contemporary Māori art? I believe it's in conjunction with the Auckland Art Gallery, Toi o Tamaki.
Yeah, for sure. So the exhibition is called Toi Tū, Toi Ora, and my film is called Toi Tū, Toi Ora, Visual Sovereignty, because I'm very much a part of story sovereignty. I think everything I make and everything that I want to do, I want to ensure that Māori have, authority over their narrative. So it was very important to me to learn that Nigel Burrell, the Māori curator at Auckland City Art Gallery, was helming this project. I think it's very important to understand that the, narrative of contemporary Māori art has often been seen through the Western art canon, and it's very important that we have control over what we determine and what we know to be that contemporary Māori art. So in this, the exhibition will have the largest footprint that the Auckland City Art Gallery has ever given to Māori. So it's kind of, I'm excited by that because, you know, as soon as you walk in that door, you won't be able to escape Māori. And to me, that's celebration. That's beautiful.
And so the art gallery is hosting the exhibition and you're making a documentary about pulling it all together?
Yeah, so I was really interested to, from Nigel's perspective too, like how do you put something like this together? It's huge. There are 120 artists, the majority are women, which I'm excited about too. What goes on? You know, how do you actually put something like this together? It's a huge feat. So I was interested in that. I was also interested in some of the artists that have been commissioned to make work and also really the story of that narrative, contemporary Māori art. What has it been since the 1950s to now? That's 70 years of a story that perhaps we haven't had the chance to tell it from our perspective. So the last survey that was not this big, but the last survey that was done at that art gallery was by Ngāhi Raka Mason called Pūrangi Aho, and that was 20 years ago. So it's been a long time, and it's a long time coming, and now we're in control of it, and that's exciting.
And I read something like 120 different artists contributing.
So it's huge, and what it does, it's also offered an opportunity for artists who have never had an opportunity to show in that particular space. And if you think about it, it's been around for 135 years, and it's about time that we allowed Māori who work in all sorts of different disciplines too. You know, this is 2020, so there's a lot of exciting work that crosses many different disciplines, and artists who have never had the opportunity to even, show in that space. So really it's giving Māori agency over their own story.
Do you think about a young Māori woman seeing what you have achieved on an international stage and here in New Zealand, whether you might be having the same effect on them as watching Merata's work had on you back in 1980?
I haven't done anything exceptional as an individual. I look at my career as collaborative. So everything I've ever done, storytelling is a collaborative process. So I really believe in enabling us to bring each other up. You know, you don't just do this on your own by any means. And anyone who's ever made a film or storytelling in and of itself, no matter what art form, it's really about collaborating with people. And so I think we need to keep doing that. We need to keep bringing young women up with us, but young men as well, and offer and make sure that there is a platform for all of us to have a space.
You're sorted for this big glitzy awards ceremony on Saturday night?
I actually got in touch with Kitty Nathan, who dressed me for the Oscars, and I said, "Hey sis, can you please, can you come by and get something to wear?" Because I was just so grateful when she reached out to me and said, "Hey, have you got anything sorted for the Oscars? I'd love to, make you something from home." And I was so touched by that. So I'm looking forward to catching up with her this week to wear something. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful! And isn't it special to be in a country where you can have award ceremonies like this, sitting shoulder to shoulder and celebrating together?
Yeah, it really is. We're lucky, right? There's a lot of, a lot of hurt and a lot of things going on outside our borders, and I think maybe we can become a little complacent that people are suffering outside our lucky little shores here. But it's wonderful to be able to just celebrate and acknowledge people because, it's everyone in between too. It's not just the exceptions or it's everyone who's going to be in that room and everyone watching perhaps. We're all Ngā Whetū. We're all stars in our own right. And I think that's the wonderful thing. Our whānau, everyone can who's been involved in our own process of art making, we all get to celebrate that night.
Hey, congratulations, Chelsea Karawe. The 2020 Ngā Whetū o Matariki, the Matariki Awards, are going to be live on Saturday, Māori TV from 8:30 p.m. And we'll be looking, watching your award with interest and looking out for Kerry's dress as well. Thanks, Chelsea.
Tēnā koe, Jesse. Ka kite.
It's Chelsea Wynn-Stanley, who is up for one of the major awards. Let me get it right there. Te Waipuna Ārangi Award for Arts and Entertainment.